Well, good evening, everyone. It's a joy and a delight to be here, and I have the privilege this evening of sharing with you a story of hope. Everybody loves a good story, don't they? We love a story of a hero, a story of a strong man. But when we hear a story of a strong man, like we're going to hear from Samson's story in Judges chapter 13 through 16, when we hear a story of a great hero and a strong man, we want that person to be relatable. We want to be able to identify with their tale. Otherwise, they grow to much too epic proportions and we can't relate to them. We want a Joe everyman hero, don't we? That's probably the reason why people like Batman better than Superman, but I don't want to enter into that debate because I know everyone has their very strong opinions about that. But people like Batman because he's a man, right? Superman, he only has one weakness, and otherwise he's invincible. We want to be able to relate to the hero. And in the story of Samson, we do have a relatable guy because it's a story about a tough guy. But he has all kinds of weaknesses, all kinds of struggles and difficulties, a history that is spotted and blemished. He has all kinds of sin in his tale, and he lives a life of very obvious disobedience to the Lord, and that's why I titled our story this evening, Samson the Barbarian, because he's a wild man. Kind of like Conan the Barbarian, right? But he's a wild man, a strong man, and lives however he wants. And yet, the God of the universe is able to redeem this man's most awful background. And it's a story of hope because that's true for us as well. That the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, is able to redeem our backgrounds, regardless of how spotted they are. If you want to turn to Judges chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, that's found on page 272 in your pew Bibles. I'll be reading from chapter 14 just a bit. But before I read from Judges chapter 14, I want to read from Hebrews chapter 11. You can just listen to it. As the New Testament informs us how we are to understand Samson's tale. And Hebrews chapter 11 says this about Samson, that he through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, was made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. So the New Testament says that this man of a sordid past and all kinds of behaviors that he engages in, he is a man of faith. He is a man who has saving faith in God. Before I read from Judges 14, though, let me just tell you a brief overview of Samson. I'm sure you know the tale of Samson and his long hair, and that is the source of his strength, that if his hair is cut, his strength leaves him. You know the tale of Samson and Delilah. That's a tale that shows up in pop culture pretty regularly. We see that show up from time to time, of the strong man whose strength goes away when he is enticed and allured by this woman and his hair is cut and his strength broken. But before we get to Delilah, Judges chapter 13 talks about Samson's birth. And his mother was barren. And the Lord comes to his mother and says that she will bear a child who will deliver God's people from their oppressors. You see, the people were oppressed at that time by the Philistines, and the people of God weren't able to worship the Lord freely. They weren't able to grow and harvest freely. They were greatly oppressed. There was an absence of blessing in the land because of the Philistines and the evil that was being inflicted upon the people of God. Well, after this barren woman conceives, miraculously conceives a child, which points to Jesus. It's an illustration pointing to Jesus, who was conceived of a virgin miraculously. So we begin to see that Samson is a picture of Jesus in some sense. But this man, Samson, is to have certain vows upon his life if he is to have the strength of the Lord upon him all of his days. He's not to cut his hair ever. No razor is to touch his head. He's not to drink the fruit of the vine. He's not to drink alcohol. And he's also not to touch a dead body. Well, then in chapter 14, we will read this in a bit, but he will find a woman that he lusts after, and it's a woman who is one of the enemies of God. And instead of being used as a deliverer for God's people from the enemies, he intermarries with them. Big mistake, right? Well, at the end of chapter 14, he is divorced, and then in 15, his wife and father-in-law are murdered, and then the remainder of Samson's days are spent visiting all kinds of disreputable women, women of the night. And then he comes upon Delilah, and she is also a woman of ill repute, and she uses his love for women to find out his source of power, and she shaves his head. And then the enemies of the people of God come upon Samson, capture him, put out his eyes, and put him in jail the rest of his days. And he is treated as a jester. He's mocked and humiliated. Perform for us, Samson. Dance for us, Samson. And they're humiliating this strong man who caused them such harm. And so in that sense, he's also a picture of Jesus, because Jesus in his final days was mocked, and he who was supposed to be the deliverer of God's people was mocked and spat upon, and he was killed. And then Samson, in a last act of strength and crying out to the Lord after his hair had regrown, he is able to push the temple of the Philistines down upon thousands of the Philistines' heads. And the Bible concludes Samson's story by saying that in his death, he was able to overcome and defeat more people than he did even in his life. Now, I want us to zoom in on chapter 14 because, as I said, we find this picture of Jesus in some sense, but instead of finding a godly person like we think we should find if we're looking for a picture of Jesus, we find a man steeped in grievous sin. And it's in light of that apparent contradiction that we see a riddle in chapter 14. And it is the riddle of the Lord. I'll begin the reading in verse 10, but before I start there, I just want to tell us, I want to set the scene of what's happening. Samson lusts after a Philistine woman, and he says to his parents, "Get her for me." He's a very respectful son, right? "Get her for me." And they begin to pursue this marriage. And as Samson is heading down to visit her, he is attacked by a lion. And with the strength of his hands, he's able to tear the lion apart because of the strength of the Lord. He's going down the same road at a different time, and he comes across the dead carcass of a lion, and the bees have made a bee's nest inside this lion's carcass. He's not supposed to touch a dead carcass, but what does Samson do? He reaches in and eats some of the honey, clearly disobeying the Lord. But it's that story that then sets the scene for Samson's wedding feast and the riddles that we find in chapter 14. Starting in verse 10, we read this. His father went down to the woman, the Philistine woman, and Samson prepared a wedding feast there, for so the young men used to do. As soon as the people saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said to them, "Let me now put a riddle to you." Let me pause there. This is a 7-day drinking feast. He's not supposed to drink, but here he is consuming all kinds of alcohol for 7 days. It's a feast, and it's full of drunkenness and revelry, and he wants to add some additional sport. And so he poses a riddle. And if they're able to solve this riddle, then we see the terms of the riddle as we move on. He says, "If you can tell me what it is within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 garments and 30 changes of clothes. But if you cannot tell me what it is, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes." And they said to him, "Put your riddle, that we may hear it." And he said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat, out of the strong came something sweet. And in 3 days, they could not solve the riddle. Let me pause again. We know the answer to the riddle because we've been let in on the story. There is honey in the lion's carcass on the road that Samson found, and that's the answer to the riddle. Now, we are allowed in the answer, but nobody else knows the answer to the riddle because Samson was the only one there. We are included in Samson's pride and arrogance here. We feel like he can't possibly lose. We experience the same hubris that Samson is experiencing. I'm the only one that knows the solution. I can't possibly lose. We go on. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband to tell us what the riddle is, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us here to impoverish us?" And Samson's wife wept over him and said, "You only hate me. You do not love me. You have put a riddle to my people, and you have not told me what it is." And he said to her, "Behold, I have not told my father nor my mother. And shall I tell you?" She wept before him 7 days that their feast lasted. And on the seventh day he told her, because she pressed him hard. Then she told the riddle to her people, and the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" And he said to them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle." And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 men of the town and took their spoil and gave the garments to those who had told the riddle. In hot anger, he went back to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. Wow. This is an earthy book, isn't it? The Bible doesn't pull its punches. It doesn't soften the people of God's sin. It doesn't say they're fine and everything's okay and don't worry about their sordid past and all of their different things that they engage in. The Bible is a very earthy book, and it shows Samson's sin for what it is. And isn't that really the riddle that we find here? How can God use someone like this? How can God redeem a life like this? There are actually four riddles in our text that I would submit to you. The first riddle is Samson's riddle, out of the eater comes eats. The second riddle is their response, the answer to the problem, what is sweeter than honey? That's the second riddle. They put it back in kind of sing-songy riddle form. The third is his really offensive response about his wife. But the fourth riddle, and the most important riddle, is the Lord's riddle. How can the Lord redeem a life such as this and use Samson? We like riddles if we know the solution. If we don't know the solution, we don't like riddles. They're perplexing and they cause us to pull our hair out, right? They're difficult. But riddles are meant to push us away, to lead us away from the intended solution, the real solution, and to distract us, right? But once you know the solution to the riddle, you have that aha moment. Oh, okay, it all makes sense, it all fits. Let me tell you two brief riddles to illustrate my point. You've probably heard these riddles. What gets wetter and wetter the more it dries? Have you heard that? What gets wetter and wetter the more it dries? And the answer? A towel. Yeah, see, it distracts us. It leads us away from the real answer. When something is drying, it's getting less and less wet. But as you're drying other things with the towel, see, it's a play on words. It's tricking us. One more riddle. No sooner spoken than broken. What is it? Silence. The moment you speak, you break silence, right? I just saw a bunch of faces go, aha. You had that aha moment. You know the answer, and then it makes sense. Okay, before it was confusing. Riddles are fun, except when you don't know the solution. And so it is with the riddle of life, the riddle of our lives, the riddle of this story of Samson's life. How can God use one who regularly violates his law? How can God use one who disregards God's purpose for him as a deliverer from the people, a deliverer from the Philistines, and instead intermarries with them? How can God use such a one who dishonors this great gift of strength and might, and he uses it flippantly in anger and inappropriately? He should be holy unto the Lord with his gift. How can God use one who's so disrespectful to authority and does whatever is right in his own eyes? And yet God has a solution to the secret and a solution to the riddle in verse 4, that God was using this, that God was purposing this event as an occasion to bring about deliverance from the Philistines. Let's examine it a little bit more in depth. So again, we're at a drinking party. It's a 7-day drinking party here. And we see this riddle given in verse 12. Out of the eater comes eats, and out of the strong comes sweets. As I said, we're let in on the solution, so we know the answer. But if you don't, it's cheating, right? It's like Bilbo Baggins' riddle in The Hobbit when he asks Gollum, "What's in my pocket?" Are you familiar with that story? Right? It's a cheating riddle. You can only know if you're Bilbo and you know what you've put in your pocket. And yet, Gollum's willing to engage in the riddle, and so it's okay. And just like Gollum, so the Philistines are willing to engage, and so it makes it all right, right? Well, the intended solution or the misdirection of the riddle, so remember, they're at a wedding feast. And out of the eater comes eats, and out of the strong comes sweets. They're at a wedding feast, and they would think, who's the strong? It's Samson. He's the strong one. Out of Samson comes love, comes something sweet. And out of the eater comes eats. Now, I don't mean to be gross here, but if you're at a 7-day drinking feast, probably some of your eats are going to come out of you, right? Out of the eater comes eats. I'm not trying to be gross, but that's the intended misdirection of the riddle. Samson at a wedding feast is the solution. Nah, it's not. It's this random lion with the bees in it. Well, they press the wife and they threaten her life, and then we see Samson's weakness. It's not his hair, it's women. And he tells her the solution, and so they throw back in his face the answer to the riddle, what's sweeter than honey and what's stronger than a lion. But it's not just the answer. It's a mockery of Samson as well. What's stronger than a lion? It's Samson. Samson was able to kill a lion with his bare hands. And what is sweeter than honey? Love. They're saying, Samson, your weakness is love. You're not all that strong. They're throwing it in his face. And then he responds with his inappropriate riddle. But here's the point. What Samson had planned as a sinful intermarriage with the enemies of the people of God, God uses as a means to bring about a conflict between Samson and the Philistines. Samson doesn't want to fight the Philistines. Samson doesn't want to use his gift to deliver the people. He wants to marry with the Philistines. And the Lord uses it as an occasion to bring about conflict and start the deliverance. And here's the solution to God's riddle. God's riddle is actually Samson's riddle. Out of the eater comes eats. Out of the eater comes something to eat, and out of the strong comes something sweet. Samson is a devourer of everything in his path. He's an eater. He's a consumer. And God brings blessing, bounty, out of this man who only thinks about himself. And he is a strong man, and out of the strong comes something sweet. The God of the universe is able to bring bounty and blessing out of this man who only thinks about himself and lives only according to his own desires, and brings blessing and sweetness. And friends, that's the story of hope for your life. I don't know your backgrounds, and I don't know what you face. I don't know what you've struggled with and what you have spent your life on. I don't know if you look back on your life and you are proud of all that you've done, or you look back on your life in shame. I don't know if you would examine your life now and say you have it all together, or if you are lacking purpose and meaning in your life. I don't know any of that. I don't know your story. But I do know that you have probably wrestled with the riddle of life. What is the meaning? What is the purpose? Is there any good that can come from my life and my experience? I don't know your story, but I know that the solution to the riddle of your life is the same solution as Samson's riddle. That the Lord can redeem all kinds of sin. There is no sin too great that the Lord can't redeem. There is no past so sordid that the Lord can't make something glorious out of it. If the Lord can redeem Samson and his pride and his lust and his explosive rage and his dishonor of parents and disregard of God's law, then he can redeem your life as well. Because the greatest riddle is actually not Samson's life and his sin. The greatest riddle of, Lord, what are you going to do with that, is the death of Jesus Christ. Because when the Lord himself was nailed to a tree, his disciples thought, all hope is lost. What are you going to do with that, Lord? The Lord has failed. The purposes of God have failed. And 3 days later, he bursts forth from the tomb, and the disciples come to realize the riddle of the Lord, that he is able to redeem death itself, that Christ had to pay the penalty for our sin, and he had to burst forth from death in life to offer us new life. If the Lord can answer a riddle such as that, can he not redeem your life as well? Friends, riddles are pleasing and fun only if we know the solution. And I'm sure you have asked time and time again, why? Why this? Why me? Or maybe even, why, Lord? But God knows the answer to the deepest questions of your heart and the deepest questions of life. And the greatest riddle that you have to face is, can the Lord redeem me from my sin and my past? And the answer is clear from Samson's life, and the answer is clear from the Lord Jesus' life. Yes, he can. And all of the questions of life, he has answers to them. We might not like the answers, we might not fully understand or be able to process the answers, but the Lord has answers in his word. And if you would but come to the Lord Jesus in faith, if you would place your faith in Christ, not only would you see that you have an answer to your sin and an answer to death itself, you would find answers to life's greatest questions and concerns. What is the meaning? What is the purpose of life? Oh, that you would have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and come to see those answers. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we can relate to Samson. Because, Father, there is not a single one of us here who could say we've not struggled and stumbled in these things that his life depicts. Dishonoring of parents and pride and trickery and deceit, sexual sin of every kind, anger, explosive rage. Father, it's just a snapshot of the various things that we struggle with, that we face. And Father, we thank you that if faith in the Lord is able to redeem even the sordid past of someone like Samson, and faith in the Lord Jesus is able to forgive, He is able to forgive the most grievous of sins. Father, may we look to Him, and may we find the answer to these great questions in life. May we find the solution these great difficulties and these great challenges and these great sins. May we look to Jesus even this night, perhaps for the very first time. And in light of that, Father, we do ask that you would give faith, that you would be the one who supplies it, and cause people to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ even tonight, we pray. And Father, now we are going to continue in a time of silent reflection and silent prayer. And I pray that you would hear our prayers even as we do so now.